Thank you, Mitch. Now, I had Mitch read those two passages because the third year of King Cyrus the Persian was the first year of King Darius the Mede. The Medo-Persian Empire was basically a two-nation empire with Cyrus ruling it all and Darius over the region of Babylon. But what we read in chapters 11 and 12, and that's actually where we're going to be this morning, chapter 11 specifically, is the message that the angel was delivering to Daniel in chapter 10. Last week, chapter 10 was all about Daniel's prayer and the answer being delivered by an angel. And this week, beginning in chapter 11 and on into chapter 12, is the message that the angel delivered. So let me just read verse 1 of chapter 10 again and verse 2 of chapter 11 to kind of make this connection. It says, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar. The message was true, but the appointed time was long. In other words, it reaches way into the future. And then back to chapter 11, verse 2, the angel says, and now I tell you the truth. He's going to deliver this message. Again, so the message of chapter 11 and 12 is the answer to Daniel's prayer, all right, in chapter 10. And we're going to learn that this message that is being delivered is really intel concerning the nations that surrounded Israel at this point in time, surrounded them on the east and the west, the south and the north, and from this time forward. But just by way of illustration, since October 7th of 2023, many have asked, how in the world did Israeli intelligence miss the indicators for the Hamas attack? An article from Domestic Preparedness said this. It says, before the Palestinian-backed militant group Hamas attacked Israel, signs of an impending attack, including training with paragliders, military-style drills, and professional quality video of attacks on mock Israeli targets were apparent. Israel knew this. According to a New York Post article, Hamas hid its preparations for the attack in plain sight. In that article, a former Israeli Army intelligence officer stated that he was aware of Hamas preparations, but never conceived of their ability to coordinate such an ambitious, large-scale operation. An Arab country, purportedly Egypt, warned Israel about Palestinian anger reaching a dangerous point just before October 7th. Yet it appears Israel did not take significant action to address this warning. In addition, recent reports suggest that Israeli intelligence officials dismissed intelligence information, including a copy of the Hamas attack plan, obtained well in advance of the attack because the information was considered aspirational. In other words, they thought it was a pipe dream, a future hope of Hamas. Well, it wasn't, and it cost them dearly. This was not the first time that Israel had intelligence that they thought was aspirational. Apparently, they thought the intelligence given to Daniel right here by this angel was aspirational. For all of the enemy's plans are laid out right in these last two chapters of Daniel perfectly, even though they were plainly given beforehand. Daniel is basically warning them, this is what God says the future holds for you. This is an intelligence for you so that you might respond rightly, Israel. They had the intel. And that intel is what we're going to begin looking at today. In fact, I've named this sermon Intel for Israel. That's our subject, and it is incredibly detailed information concerning all of the nations that surround Israel and their plans concerning Israel. In fact, it's mind-blowing how detailed the information is that we find here. And I need to remind us that chapter 11 contains information. Well, it's all in the past. Well, all of chapter 11 is in the past for us. It was yet future for Israel. Okay, it is the attack plans of all of the Gentile nations around them. However, most of chapter 11 is, of course, now past for us. But it's a prediction. It's a prediction given to Daniel by God. And it's so precise. It is so precise that every historian, whether secular or biblical, now knows exactly what this is describing. While the people are not named, there is no question who this chapter is talking about. Now, we're going to look at the details here in just a few minutes because they are a history lesson for us today. And we can and should learn from history. However, one of the purposes of fulfilled prophecy is to confirm our confidence in prophecy that is yet to be fulfilled. Most of chapter 11 is in the past for us, but chapter 12, when we get there in a couple of weeks, is yet future for us. And if what is described in chapter 11 happened as precisely as it had, okay, we can count on the fact that chapter 12 will. Now, we're going to do something a little bit different this morning in that we're going to take a topical look at chapter 11. Rather than looking at every detail in the chapter, I want to look at three topics that surround this intel in this chapter so that we can prepare ourselves for the future. In other words, what we're going to see here happened, it happened. Chapter 12 has not yet happened, and seeing what has happened should prepare us for what will happen. This intel is for Israel's future, but it's designed to prepare any reader for their future as well. In fact, speaking of Israel, here's a New Testament passage for us. This is from 1 Corinthians 10:11. It says, "Now all these things happened to them, Israel, as examples, and they were written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the age has come." In other words, we can look into the New Testament and learn from it so that we won't make the same mistakes that they did. Here we are at the end of the age. Chapter 12, I believe, is getting ready to happen. It's getting ready to happen, and we're looking at this as an example to us so that we won't do what they did. Three topics from our passage. Here's the first: the deterrence of this intel. Imagine Israel, and I'm talking about October 7th, 2023, Israel. Imagine Israel had a spy among Hamas in the months leading up to October 7th. And I would imagine they probably did. Imagine that spy learned of the planned attacks for October 7th. Imagine that spy began to make his way back to Israel to give them this very needed information. Imagine Hamas learned of this spy who now had all of the details of the attack, and he was on his way to Israel to give them this information. Do you think Hamas would try to stop him? Yes. They would do everything in their power to keep this information from Israel. Perhaps there was one. Perhaps they did stop him. We may never know, okay? What we do know is that Israel did have very general information. They knew Hamas was planning something, but now in hindsight, they did not take the threat as seriously as they should have. Well, in a like manner, what we find here right in these last chapters of Daniel, in our passage, an angel is delivering this vital information to Israel about the nations around them and the struggle for power among them that will culminate in a crushing blow for Israel. Now, again, we're going to look at the details in a minute, but the devil did not want Israel to have this information. The devil didn't want Israel to have this intel, and it led to some deterrence. And these are mostly pointing back to chapter 10, spiritual warfare. We talked about that last week. The prince of Persia was a deterrent. That is what we looked at last week. Daniel prayed for the details concerning the Gentile nations around them. He prayed for details concerning those visions and nations that he'd got all his life concerning the big metal man, the lion, the bear, the leopard, the beast. He wanted to know the details of the vision of the ram and the goat and the little horn. And now God is... and how God is going to use them against Israel. And God sent this information through this angel. And the instant the devil found out, he sent the prince of Persia to stop the angel. And a battle ensued. We talked about it last week. For 3 weeks, until the archangel Michael came to help. And the message then got through to Daniel. So that was a deterrent. Another deterrent, we've talked about this in the past too, was scandals. The scandal of the Dead Sea Scrolls was a deterrent. Several weeks ago when we were in chapter 8 and 11 give us incredible predicted detail about these Gentile nations. And when the Dead Sea Scrolls were found and proved, really, or gave evidence that Daniel was written before the facts, the devil acted again. And for 40 years after Daniel 8 and 11, those fragments were found, unearthed. They were kept hidden from biblical scholars until the late 1980s. The devil did not want us as God's children to have this prophecy, what we're reading right here, affirmed by archaeological evidence. And then a third deterrent, probably the most common deterrent of all, is skepticism. The hearts of hearers can be a deterrent from taking this information and believing it. Israel, they got the intel. They learned of the enemy's plans, and very few did anything with it. They considered this information aspirational. In fact, even today, Daniel is looked at one of the lesser prophets of Israel, by the Jews anyway. And that is a deterrent that you and I need to be aware of in ourselves, our own unbelief. Our own skepticism, our own doubting heart when it comes to God's revealed word. Picking and choosing what we believe, what we don't believe. Those are some of the deterrents of receiving the intel that God wants us to have. Spiritual warfare, scandals, skepticism. Here's our second topic. And we'll now get into our passage finally, but the details of the intel. That's the second topic. Chapter 11 is a long chapter that contains a lot of information. So much information that we could go line by line and literally match it to history books that we have today and see that it lines up perfectly. But we're not going to do that, okay? I am going to read it all because I want you to hear the detail. I want you to know that every single commentary that I read matches the information of specific kingdoms and rulers that are recorded in secular history with no disagreement between them. There simply is no question that this matches what we know from history now perfectly. No question. And that is why skeptics, because it matches so closely, that is why skeptics want to believe that it had to be written after the fact. But it wasn't. It's too detailed, and it matches history. I also believe that chapter 11 is the reason the devil hid the Daniel fragments of the Dead Sea Scrolls from believers. It affirms perfectly that the Bible is indeed the Word of God. He can predict the future. God can predict the future. And His Word has been preserved pure. For what we have in Daniel, recorded in our laps right now, 2,500 years later, is what he recorded 2,500 years ago. So here are the details of the intel the angel brought to Daniel. First of all, Persian rulers of the east will arise. And if you're in chapter 11, verse 2, "And now I will tell you the truth. Behold, three more kings will arise in Persia, and the fourth shall be far richer than them all. By his strength, through his riches, he shall stir up all against the realm of Greece." Now, this is the history of the Persian Empire, right in verse 2. It's the history of the Persian Empire after Darius, written before it happened. And we learned they would and did stir it up with Greece. So Grecian rulers of the west will arise. Look at verses 3 and 4. "Then a mighty king shall arise who shall rule with great dominion and do according to his will. And when he has arisen, his kingdom shall be broken up and divided toward the four winds of heaven, but not among his posterity, nor according to his dominion with which he ruled. For his kingdom shall be uprooted even for others besides these." And this, historians agree, this is talking about Alexander the Great, the ruler whose kingdom was then divided, not among his posterity, not to his children, but to four generals after his death, and then that kingdom was uprooted. So we have the Persian rulers of the east will arise. Daniel, by inspiration of God, predicting it before it happened. Grecian rulers of the west will arise, predicted through Daniel by God before it happened. And then Egyptian rulers of the south will arise. Verse 5. "So the king of the south shall become strong as well as one of his princes, and he shall gain power over him and have dominion. His dominion shall be a great dominion." Now, Egypt will actually be named in this passage shortly. But history tells us these specific rulers were, let's see how I pronounce it right, Ptolemy and Seleucus, okay? Ptolemy the first and Seleucus the second of Egypt is who we're reading about here. And then Syrian rulers of the north will arise. And I'm going to read a rather long passage, so follow along. Verses 6 through 20. "And at the end of some years, they shall join forces For the daughter of the king of the south shall go to the king of the north to make an agreement, but she shall not retain the power of her authority, and neither he nor his authority shall stand, but she shall be given up with those who brought her, and with him who begot her, and with him who strengthened her in those times. But from a branch of her roots one shall arise in his place, who shall come with an army, enter the fortress of the king of the north, and deal with them and prevail. And he shall also carry their gods captive to Egypt, with their princes and their precious articles of silver and gold, and he shall continue more years than the king of the north. Also the king of the north shall come to the kingdom of the king of the south, but shall return to his own land. However, his sons shall stir up strife and assemble a multitude of great forces, and one shall certainly come and overwhelm and pass through. Then he shall return to his fortress and stir up strife. And the king of the south shall be moved with rage and go out and fight with him, with the king of the north, who shall muster a great multitude, but the multitude shall be given into the hand of his enemy when he has taken away the multitude. His heart will be lifted up, and he will cast down tens of thousands, but he will not prevail, for the king of the north will return and muster a multitude greater than the former, and shall certainly come at the end of some years with a great army and much equipment. Now in those times many shall rise up against the king of the south, so violent men of your people shall exalt themselves in fulfillment of the vision, but they shall fall. So the king of the north shall come and build a siege mound and take a fortified city, and the forces of the south shall not withstand him. Even his choice troops shall have no strength to resist, but he who comes against him shall do according to his own will, and no one shall stand against him. He shall stand in the glorious land with destruction in his power. He shall also set his face to enter with the strength of his whole kingdom and upright ones with him. Thus shall he do. And he shall give him the daughter of women to destroy it, but he shall not stand with him or be for him. After this, he shall turn his face to the coastlands and shall take many, but a ruler shall bring the reproach against them to an end, and with the reproach removed, he shall turn back on him. He shall turn his face toward the fortress of his own land, but he shall stumble and fall and not be found. There shall arise in his place one whom imposes taxes on the glorious kingdom, but within a few days he shall be destroyed, but not in anger or in battle. Now, that was a lot of detail. That was a lot of detail. And historians can look back at this picture, this detail given before the fact, and they can name these people one after the other. And as was often done in those days of the kings, queens, and rulers of kingdoms, alliances would be made through marriages, through family, through children. That's exactly what we're seeing here. That is the kind of detail that God is giving Daniel concerning these nations before it happened. It gives us the monarchical history of at least 9 different kings. It is incredible, and from Ptolemy the first, second, third, and fourth, the Philadelphius, Philopater, Antiochus the first, second, and third, as well as, I can't even pronounce that one, okay? But anyway, it is just amazing that the detail that is given here, to the degree that historians can look back and actually name these people. All recorded by Daniel before it happened. And at the end of the passage that I just read, we begin to see why this information is so important for Israel to have, all right? Because it will culminate in rulers who will now come against Israel, or the glorious land, as our passage describes it, with persecution and taxes. Again, we could take this line by line and match it to history and see the extreme detail of these kingdoms before it happened. But my purpose, I wanted to read this to you so you could see the detail, but really my purpose is to prepare us for the future. For that is the exact reason that Daniel was given this information. Well, the details continue. I've got another long passage to read to you, but here's the heading. Antiochus Epiphanes of Syria will arise. Now, we've talked about him before, back in chapter 8. But Daniel prayed for more detail, and so he's going to get it. Verse 20 ended speaking of Antiochus III. Well, Antiochus Epiphanes replaced him. Verses 21 through 31. And in his place shall arise a vile person, to whom they will not give the honor of royalty, but he shall come in peaceably and seize the kingdom by intrigue. And by the way, that is exactly what Antiochus Epiphanes did. With the force of a flood, they shall be swept away from before him and broken, and also the prince of the covenant. And after the league is made with him, he shall act deceitfully, for he shall come up and become strong with a small number of people. He shall enter peaceably even into the richest places of the province, and he shall do what his fathers have not done, nor his forefathers. He shall disperse among them the plunder, spoil, and riches, and he shall devise his plans against the strongholds, but only for a time. He shall stir up his power and his courage against the king of the south with a great army, and the king of the south shall be stirred up to battle with a very great and mighty army. But he shall not stand, for they shall devise plans against him. Yes, those who eat of the portion of his delicacies shall destroy him. His army shall be swept away, and many shall fall down slain. But these kings' hearts shall be bent on evil, and they shall speak lies at the same table. But it shall not prosper, for the end will still be at the appointed time. While returning to his land with great riches, his heart shall be moved against the holy covenant. So he shall do damage and ruin his own land. At the appointed time, he shall return and go toward the south, but it shall not be like the former or the latter. For ships from Cyprus shall come against him. Therefore, he shall be grieved and return in rage against the holy covenant to do damage. So he shall return and show regard for those who forsake the holy covenant, and forces shall be mustered by him, and they shall defile the sanctuary fortress. Then they shall take away the daily sacrifices and place there the abomination of desolation. Now, a lot more details. Antiochus Epiphanes came in with deceitful words and false peace, but then turned into the devil himself. And Daniel is recording history right here before it happened. On December 14th of 168 BC, almost 400 years after Daniel recorded this, Antiochus Epiphanes desecrated the Jewish temple by erecting an altar to Zeus and sacrificing a pig on it. And that is the desecration that Daniel's talking about. He then began a campaign to exterminate the Jews. He is, in fact. Antiochus Epiphanes is, in fact, a type of what the Antichrist will yet be future from now. He was an abomination of desolation. But Jesus, 170 years after that event, warning Israel of the real abomination of desolation yet to come, said this in Matthew 24, 15 and 16. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads this, let him understand. Let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. And that is yet future for us. Israel has the intel. You and I have the intel right here. It's recorded by Daniel right here in black and white. Well, probably black and tan scrolls, but anyway. What would Israel do with the intel? That's our last topic, the determination of this intel. Now, to be fair, we are looking at things from the perspective of in the past. What's written in chapter 11, most of it is in the past for us. So we're looking at it in hindsight, all right? We might see it and wonder, why wasn't Israel more prepared, right? Well, even concerning the Hamas attacks of October 7th, days before the attack, Egypt warned Israel of unusual Hamas activity. The U.S. warned Israel of unusual Hamas activity. Israeli intelligence warned Israel of unusual Hamas activity. And in some areas, the threat level was increased, but in others, not so much. But then it happened. Thousands of men, women, children, infants were brutally murdered by Hamas and Palestinians. Israel could have been more prepared. And they could have here too. Verse 32 predicts how Israel would respond to Antiochus Epiphanes. It says, those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery. But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. What that's telling us is some, as they're going through this, and perhaps some read Daniel, some ignored the intel. They very obviously either ignored it or didn't read it, and consider that this ruler who is now making a covenant with us and speaking flattering words to us and generating a sense of peace with us could be that ruler that Daniel spoke of, that God predicted. At this time, they could have looked at the history of verses 6 through 20 and plainly seen how Daniel predicted all of that. And now know that there will be a ruler who comes in and flatters us and takes advantage of us. They could have known and not trusted him. Some ignored the intel, but some, according to that passage, utilized the intel. But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. Look at verses 33 through 35. And those of the people who understand shall instruct many. Yet for many years they shall fall by sword and flame, by captivity and plundering. Now when they fall, they shall be aided with a little help, but many shall join with them by intrigue. And some of those understanding shall fall and refine them, purify them, and make them white until the time of the end, because it is still for the appointed time. How did they utilize what Daniel wrote here? Well, they shared the intel. The news spread. Hey, you know, Daniel warned us about this. They died for the intel. They rebelled against Antiochus Epiphanes, and many died. They caused others to join. They did get a little help, but many joined them in this fight for truth, and they were redeemed by the truth. Salvation has only always been by believing what God has revealed. And while these, at this time, had not seen the promised Son of God who would redeem them, they fought here for the promise that God had made to them of one who would. Our passage ends saying, until the time of the end, because it is still for the appointed time. In other words, the appointed time of God's promise was yet future for them. In fact, the time of the end, what is yet to come even for us, is what will be addressed in the remainder of the intel that this angel brought to Daniel. And we're going to see that, Lord willing, in chapter 12 in a few weeks here. This was all intel for Israel. And I hope that rather than being bored by the details, you understand that the vast amount of details and how they match history was not only a design, it was not only designed to prepare Israel for their future, but it's designed to prepare us for ours. It's designed for us to look at this and see the intricate detail that is given here and know that it was fulfilled perfectly, so that as we get into chapter 12 and look at what is yet future, we will take it to heart. We will take it to heart. 1 Corinthians 10:11 says, "Now these things happened to them as examples. They were written." This was written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. This is for our preparation. We are living in the end time. We are given these topics and told how Israel responded so that we might respond a bit better. 2 Thessalonians 2:9, and I'll close with this. "For the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved." That is a warning to you and me, specifically concerning what we read right here. Here's the truth. Here's the intel. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Father, thank you for this passage. We do thank you for the extreme detail that we are given right here. And while some of us, including myself, do not get excited about history, it doesn't make it any less important. It doesn't make it any less important. And I pray, Lord, we take the details that we've heard here today, knowing that it does match our past perfectly. Take that, Lord, and prepare ourselves for what is yet future, that we might trust in you, that we might be spared from going through the wrath that we are going to see in chapter 12. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's go ahead and stand one more time, and we'll be dismissed after our last song.
You hear me when I call. You are my morning song. Though darkness fills me.